Well, you cannot hardly turn on a television between November and December 25th and see It's a Wonderful Life on some channel playing. I think it never stops between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life is a wonderful movie, but it actually wasn't received by audiences very well. The critics sort of lambasted it. And initially, Jimmy Stewart was maybe a little concerned why he made that movie in the first place, but boy, hasn't it turned out to be a classic that all of us have seen. And I think it's such a powerful movie because of the statement that it makes, and I think we revisit it every year because of what it means for one person's life to make such a difference. George Bailey is the protagonist of the movie and the star, and he's had so many problems in his life financially, but he's blessed in so many ways. And it's Christmas time, and he's lost a lot of money by a misfortune, and he's about ready to lose everything, and he's ready to end his life on a bridge by jumping off of it. But just as he's ready to jump off the bridge, he encounters an angel that he didn't know was an angel at the time, a man named Clarence, who is about ready to jump in fact does jump into the water from the bridge. George saves him, and then Clarence, who turns out to be an angel, reveals to George, says, "George, why would you want to end your life? Do you realize how many lives that your life has touched? And if you had not been around, things that would not have happened, wonderful things that would not have happened because of your life." And there's a line in the movie where Clarence the angel says, "Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many others. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?" This is so true. For men and women alike, young and old alike, each of us stands between what can be and what will be. Each of us stands between what should be and what will be. What can and what should be, and this is what God wills, what can and should be is always something beautiful. It's always something truthful. It's always something good. But what stands between what should be and what will be, oftentimes, is you and me. And Christ can be born in every situation. He can be born into every situation in life. Every encounter. He can be born into every relationship. But oftentimes, he might need you. He might need you to carry out his will in that relationship or in that situation. And so oftentimes, standing between what should be and what could be and what will be is you. And that's what we learn not only from a great movie like It's a Wonderful Life, but also from our story that Matthew tells us this morning about the life of Joseph. You know, Matthew, when we're watching, when we're reading this story, Matthew makes us privy to what should be. What should be is that Christ, that God has planned for the coming of Christ into the world to save the world. And we see that prophesied throughout the Old Testament, and the Gospels share that with us as well. What should be is that Christ comes into the world and makes beauty, delivers the beauty and the grace of God into the world. That's what should be. And what should be is that Christ should be born. But there's actually two plans that play out here. If you read this story, there's two plans. The first plan is this. This is what appears, that what appears should happen. What appears should happen is that Mary and Joseph are engaged to be married, and then they will be married at some point, and they'll raise a family, and it'll be an ordinary life in an ordinary part of the world in an ordinary time. But Mary, in this story, this first story, becomes pregnant. And even though Mary and Joseph have not been together sexually, now Mary is with child. And Joseph not only could suspect that Mary has been unfaithful, which you would think he would have, but it says that being a righteous man, Joseph did not wish to humiliate Mary. And so instead of making a public spectacle of Mary, Joseph plans to, it's his intention, it's his plan, to send her away quietly, to divorce her quietly and not make a big stink about it, because Joseph was a good man and a righteous man, Matthew tells us. So that seems to be what should have been. But there's a second plan. And this is where Joseph comes in a big way in this story. The second plan comes to Joseph in a dream. It's God's dream. It's God's dream for Joseph and Mary. And God's dream is always what should happen. And an angel tells Joseph, here's the plan, that Mary has conceived, yes, she has for sure, but her unborn baby came through the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph is to remain with Mary, take her as his wife, and see that the child is named Jesus, which means, by the way, Savior. This is what should happen and will happen if Joseph does the right thing. But always standing between what should be and what will be is you or me. And the question is, will we do the right thing? Joseph, whatever plan would have worked out, the first plan, what he didn't know about God's intervention in the plan, it would have worked out. Because Joseph was going to do the right thing. He was going to quietly divorce her and not make a big stink and humiliate her. But then there was a plan B. Have you ever gone through your life and you've had things going well and plan A didn't work out? And so now we need a plan B. Well, plan B arrives, but yet Joseph again, we find, stands between what should be and what will be. And God is looking for a righteous person to make what should be what will be. And Joseph has a choice again in this second plan. But we find that the plan unfolds as God intended because Joseph did the right thing. The Greek word that's used there for right or righteousness is dikaios, which means righteous or just or innocent. It means working from a principle of righteousness, responding obediently to the opportunity to do the right thing. Every moment, you and I have the opportunity to do the right thing, to think the right things, to say the right things, to do the right things. Because standing between what should be, what God's plan is for your relationships, what God's plan is for your family, what God's plan is for your church, what God's plan is for your place in your career, what God's plan is for your place in your schooling, wherever you are in whatever stage of life, standing between what God wants for your life and what will be is you. And God wants you to do the right thing. And He wants me to do the right thing. And our righteousness, the Scripture tells us over and over, our righteousness opens the way. But Paul reminds us, it's not our righteousness. It's the Spirit of God living in us that becomes our righteousness. So in order to do the right thing, we have to get out of the way. Joseph got out of the way. Joseph could have said, wait a minute, Mary, do you realize what this is going to do for my street cred? You went out and got pregnant by another man. Do you realize what this is going to do to me? Well, I'm going to humiliate you. This is not going to bring me down. You're going down, Mary. Joseph could have got right in the way of that. But then plan B came. And the Lord said, in a dream, Joseph, don't worry about Mary. That child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Well, Joseph had a choice there as well. Lord, I can't do this. You want me to go out to my buddies down at work, down at the carpenter shop, and say, she's not really, she wasn't with another guy. She was built with the Holy Spirit, you see. You want me to do that, Lord? You want me to humiliate myself in order for this to happen? He could have stood in the way. But Matthew tells us Joseph was a righteous man. And righteous men and righteous women do the right thing. And so in standing out of the way, Joseph allows the grace of God to enter into the situation, to enter into how this was to play out. And we see in this passage how it could have been otherwise if Joseph had not been a righteous man. And so that asks us the question, that places the question before us, what could have been or what could be if you are not the righteous person that God calls you to be? In your marriage, as a parent, as a grandparent, as a child, as a coworker, as the boss, whomever it might be. What is it that's not going to play out, that God is willing to play out, if you're not standing in the gap as a righteous person? Who else is going to do it if God is leaning on you to do the right thing? And Joseph was no extraordinary man by any measure, except that he was righteous. And so an ordinary man did an extraordinary thing. And that's what the Lord calls us to do. In fact, throughout the scriptures, he calls the lowly one after another, Abraham and Sarah, and then Moses the fugitive, and then David the lowly shepherd, and then Mary the peasant girl from Palestine. He calls ordinary people, you and me, to do the right thing. Christmas comes because the right people stood up and did the right thing. Christ comes in our lives. Christ appears in the midst of our relationships, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our dreams and our hopes for the world, when we do the right thing. And we do the right thing when we humble ourselves, as Joseph did, which allows the grace of God to pour in. And with the grace of God comes power. And with the grace of God comes mercy, and comes beauty, and comes excellence. And that all gets to be lived out in our lives and into the lives around us as it pours out through us. But it all goes back to the question, will we do the right thing? So as Christmas approaches this year, and we remember the Christ child lying in the manger, and the beauty and the goodness and the excellence that that Christ child introduces to the world, ask yourself, I stand between what should be and what will be. And what should be, Christ wills to be good, and he wills to be beautiful, and he wills to be truthful and beautiful and amazing. But will it be so if I don't do the right thing where God has placed me right now? And you know where you are in whatever relationships you're in, whatever scenario you're in life, whatever struggle, whatever question is before you. We all have that. Whatever that is, ask yourself, what will be if I do the right thing? What will not be if I don't do the right thing? And what God wills is that Christ be born. He willed that Christ be born in Bethlehem, and he wills that Christ be born in you and in me, and that through us Christ be born into the world, and that in the world the kingdom of God rises up. And Jesus says, it looks like a shade tree that grows and it spreads its branches out and birds come and land upon it. It's a beautiful thing, this kingdom of God. But are we standing in the way of that? Let us be like Joseph, the extraordinary man who did, the ordinary man who did an extraordinary thing. To be the ordinary man or woman who does the extraordinary thing. Because doing the right thing today is really extraordinary. In a world that's so lost, in a world that's so much chasing after dark things and things of death, doing the right thing is really an extraordinary thing. So we're called to be extraordinary people in Jesus Christ. May the grace of God fill you. May his love surround you. May his peace be with you. Amen.